We begin our studies today in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. The book of 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 20 through 22. We're looking at the question, can a child of God fall from grace? Can a Christian ever lose his salvation? Is the doctrine of once saved, always saved true, or is it false? So let's read together 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. And here we find that Peter wrote, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Now what we're going to do is to go back to the very beginning of this chapter to see what the context is. Because he talks about some people here, and he refers to them as they, and of course them. Well, who is he talking about when he says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world"? Let's go back to chapter 2, verse 1, and we'll see that Peter describes these people. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, that is, who secretly, shall bring in damnable heresies." Damnable heresies are doctrines which damn the soul. And he says they're going to be false teachers bringing in these doctrines. He said there were false prophets in the Old Testament, and they're going to be false teachers among you in the New Testament in church times. So the Bible says that these false teachers will come in among you. Now he's writing to Christians here, and he says that these false prophets and false teachers will enter in among you. They will slip in. They will bring in the back door, so to speak, these damnable heresies. They may whisper them for a while. They may only talk to certain people in private about these heresies and these doctrines, but then they're going to start making them public. Eventually, they're going to bind those doctrines on as many people as they can, and they will divide the church over those heresies. Now, Peter refers to these doctrines as damnable heresies. When people today say that it doesn't make any difference what the doctrine is, you know, just as long as you believe in Jesus Christ, well, the Bible tells us here that there is such a thing as damnable heresies. Now, notice what he says in the last part of verse 2 about these false teachers. He says, "These false teachers will slip these damnable heresies into congregations, and they will even be denying the Lord that bought them." Now, what does he mean when he says that the Lord had bought them? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, that we are bought with a price. What is that price? Well, that price is the blood of the Son of God. The Bible tells us in Matthew 20, verse 28, that Jesus said that he came to give his life a ransom. There's your payment. To be bought by Jesus means that the blood of Jesus has purchased us from the life of sin. That means we have been redeemed from a lost condition, from the consequences of sin. So when the Bible talks about being bought by Jesus Christ, that simply means that we've been saved. That's what 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 talk about. And that's what Acts 20, verse 28, if you want to write that passage down, talks about as well. The Bible says that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. So these people had been bought. Notice it. They bring in these damnable heresies, and they eventually deny the Lord that bought them. Now, they may deny him in word, or they may deny him with their lives. You see, a person can deny Christ by what he says, or he can deny Christ by what he does. Paul talked about this in Titus chapter 1, because he mentioned some people there who profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. And that's what these false teachers did. Notice that he says in chapter 2, verse 1, that they bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now notice the wording here in chapter 2, verse 1. He says they are false teachers. They bring in damnable heresies. They're going to receive swift destruction. Now, who are we talking about here? Are we talking about people outside the church? Are we talking about people who have never been saved? No. We're talking about people that the Lord had bought. We're talking about people who had been cleansed by the blood of Christ. That's what being bought by Jesus means. So we are definitely talking about Christian people. We're talking about people who had been baptized into Christ. They had been added to the church. But for whatever reason, they decided that they were going to teach things other than what the gospel says. And the Bible plainly tells us that God is going to bring upon them judgment. In the verses that follow, we find a description of these false teachers and how they operate. And as a matter of fact, when you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, you find that the way that false teachers operated then is exactly how they operate today. How do they get such a following? Well, as we begin in verse 2 reading, we find that the Bible says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways." Many are going to follow these false teachers. That is exactly what happens today. We scratch our heads sometimes and wonder why it is and how it is that so many people will listen to false teachers, and yet Peter said this is going to happen. It happened then, and it's going to happen today. He says, "By reason of whom," that is, because of these people, "the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." People are going to talk bad about the gospel and about the church and about Christians because of these false teachers, because the masses are going to follow them. And all the while, they're going to be saying, and do say, that they're the real Christians, that they're the real godly people, that they're the truly religious folks. And yet the Bible tells us here that they're not. Notice in verse 3 that he says, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." Now the word covetousness here shows that they're greedy. They're after money. Has that changed? You see, what we find here in the Bible almost 2,000 years ago is exactly what is taking place today. These false teachers oftentimes are motivated by money. They're motivated by the glory and the praise of men that they receive, but they're motivated also because they want money out of people. The Bible says they will use feigned words to make merchandise of you. The feigned words here simply means that they choose just the right words at the right time, and they say them in just the right way so that people will follow them and people will believe them. The Bible says in Romans 16:18 that they use good words and fair speeches to deceive the hearts of the simple. But Peter points out again, just because they're getting away with it for a while doesn't mean that they'll get away with it forever. Because he says, "Whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not." So what have we seen here in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3? We find that these were people who had been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, but they turned against the gospel. They fell away. Now he continues to describe these false teachers in the verses that follow. But we're going to have to skip over most of that description and go down to verse 20, the passage that we began with. He's still talking about these false teachers here, the ones that we've described, the ones that we've just read about. And notice what he says in verse 20. He said, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." The Bible says here plainly that they had escaped the pollutions of the world. The pollutions of the world meaning the sin, the impurities of the world. Now, who are the only people who have escaped the pollutions of the world. Christians, saved people. People who are in the church have escaped those pollutions. People who are in the world, lost people, have not escaped them. The Bible does not talk about lost people and say that they have escaped the pollutions of the world. They're in them. Lost people are up to their necks in sin. They certainly have not escaped the pollutions of the world. So here we find then that these people again are pointed out to be people who have been saved from the pollutions of the world. Now somebody might say, well, I don't believe these people were saved to begin with. I don't believe that they were really saved to start with. Well, the Bible says they were saved. The Bible says that the Lord had bought them. The Bible says that they had escaped the pollutions of the world. If that's not talking about being saved, then what on earth would it be talking about? Yes, they were saved. These were saved people that turned back to the world. The Bible says in verse 20 that after they had escaped the pollutions of the world, that they again were entangled in those pollutions. And not only entangled in those pollutions, but they were overcome by those pollutions or sins or impurities of the world. And he says, as a result, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Well, what was the beginning? The beginning of these people's lives, as you think about their conversion, was this. The start or the beginning was they were lost in sin. Then they were converted. Then they were baptized into Christ. Their sins were washed away. But now then, after they have turned back to sin, the Bible says that they're in a worse shape than they were to begin with. Well, folks, if they're still saved, if they are still in a right relationship with God, then why on earth would Peter be saying here that they're in a worse shape now than they were to start with? And Peter goes on to say in verse 21 that it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, that is the gospel, than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So obviously they've been converted and they have turned back to the way of sin. Then he uses two illustrations, as a matter of fact, two disgusting illustrations, of how God looks at a Christian who has turned back to sin. In verse 22, he says it's like a dog turning back to his own vomit, or a sow that has been washed going right back to wallowing in the mud. That's how God sees it. That's how disgusting it is for a child of God to turn back to sin. Now again, if the idea of once saved, always saved is true, if a child of God cannot go back to a life of sin and fall from grace, then why do we have this chapter in the Bible? And why do we have all of these warnings? Why do we have all of these and many other examples in the Bible of people who actually fell? And why do we have the last words of Peter, the apostle, in 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verses 17 and 18 as this book closes. Peter said, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Let us make sure that we have done what the Bible tells us to do to be saved, and let us do what the Bible tells us to do to stay saved.